That's a curious new way of starting the show, isn't it? Good Wednesday afternoon to you then, just after 3 o'clock. I'm John Holmes, as that said in a weird way. In for Ian Lee, thanks to Nick Abbott for subbing the sub for the last 2 days. Sadly, though, he's been sent off for stamping on Anna Rayburn's testicles, so she's off as well, of course. So thanks to Linda Papadopoulos for sitting in there and her problem-solving over the last... some hours. Only a certain kind of problem, of course. I mean, I'm sure she's very good if you're getting divorced or have a deadly addiction to Lemsip. But to be honest, if you want to know how to get up the waterfall on level 2 of Tomb Raider, she's worse than useless. Anyway, thanks to her. I should tell you as well, she's very kindly given us some leftover advice to give away this afternoon. She didn't have time to give out all the advice herself, so she's given it to us, and I'll be giving that advice away to the first person to call that really does need it. 0870 9090973 is the number for that. If you'd like Dr. Linda Papa's advice, we will then post it to you. Anyway, hello, I'm John Holmes, in for Ian Lee on LBC 97.3. London. Right then, I expect you're wondering just what the big heck is coming up in the next 3.5 hours. That's right, 3.5 of God's own hours of broadcasting time on this, the radio equivalent of a North Korean missile test. Well, speaking of tennis, which we weren't, this afternoon, of course, is the men's quarterfinal, Federer versus Thing, and they're playing live on Centre Court at Wimbledon. It's resumed after the weather. We will bring you live coverage on this programme, throughout this programme, of that, with commentary from a one-year-old child. So all the action and analysis from the unique perspective of a 12-month-old baby. That's between now and six. Also this afternoon, the mystery object competition continues. No one guessed it correctly last week. Not no one. And I had 4 tickets to give away. Mm-hmm. Today, there's a rollover. That's gone up to 6 tickets. I've got 6 tickets to give away if you can guess the mystery object. And it'll be probably a bit easier to guess today as well. But details coming up later. And that's, you can text or email that. Text is 84850. And email is holmes@lbc.co.uk. And of course, your call. Oh, well, of course your calls. Of course your calls. Naturally, I'll be wanting to talk to you on that number thing. 0870 9090973. We've also got all the news as it comes in. I'll be bringing you a list of the West End theatres in alphabetical order. We've got travel here from Joanna, I think. Is it Joanna today? And she's in LBC's Travel Tank. Quite a lot of excellent adverts, but as I say, the most important thing are your calls. 0870 9090973. And if you're not too dysfunctional to be able to work a simple telephone, then why not hammer that number into it now? And you'll get connected straight through to Helen, probably. And she will then gauge you according to your level of mental and then probably put you through to me here regardless. So call now, 0870 9090973. I might sit here till you do. Even if it's just to complain about something or wonder where Ian Lee's gone, I don't really mind. So, I am John Holmes, LABC 97.3, and what I got something, there was something someone said to me the other day, which I thought was just one of those weird lies that people tell you, but it turns out it's true. The famous 5 books, the one, you know, the ones with George, Anne, and Dick, and Julian, and Timmy the dog, written by Enid Blyton, of course, they're being reissued, republished, but they've changed all of the names of the children, and they've taken out all references that people consider to be I don't know, un-PC. I did this a few years ago, I think, with Noddy, I think. But now, it turns out, that the publishers are just bowing to political correctness by sanitising some of these books. Have we read these books? Now, I read the famous 5 books when I was a child and thought they were great. And the fact that, mainly because they're about, you know, castles and tunnels and adventure. The fact that people were queer in it, called queer, and apparently you can't say that anymore. That's been replaced. The word queer, actually, it's a find and replace thing, like in Microsoft Word. So they've gone sort of, well, find the word queer that appears throughout the Enid Blyton books, where, of course, she just meant strange, and they've replaced it with odd, in case it means something worse now, or something. They've also taken out the word biscuits, True. And because they want to appeal to the American market, put the word cookies in instead. Yeah. Is that a, is this right? Is my question to you, is this a good thing to do? I'm not sure that it is. What would you call the modern books? You could text some ringers with some titles. 0870 9090973, or text us 84850 if you so desire. I got one of the titles here actually, because this was actually this is one of the ones they're going to call. Where have I put it? They were going to call the new famous five book, just to bring it up to modern day. Five, get an Asbo. That's going to be the first book that's coming out. And I think... where were the other ones that I wrote down as well? I did see the news that were coming out. Bear in mind, these are all Enid Blyton books, of course. So there were things like The Mountaintop of Adventure and The Cave of Adventure and The River of Adventure. The next one, it's going to be called The Hooded Top of Adventure. Five Go Happy Slapping is going to be another one. And instead of sixth form at Mallory Towers, apparently it's the new one's going to be called Racially Motivated Attack at Mallory Towers. So bringing Famous Five books up to date. That's what's happening. Jonathan, hello.
Hello, Jonathan. It's very nice to hear you back again.
Well, thank you.
I'm a little bit disturbed by the unfortunate use these book companies are making of the word that you just mentioned and we've all got to be careful not to say.
Yes.
But my gran always used to say, if she wasn't well, she'd say, I feel a bit queer. But
right.
That's what my gran said. Now, I'm talking about a lady in her 70s. Now, come on, she can't be that bad, can she?
No.
For just using that word. And I can remember years ago, my brother, he's gay, and he went to a party, and he came back, my mum called him in the fridge, and she said, what are you doing in the fridge? He said, well, there wasn't any food at this party, and she said, that was a queer party, and he said, yeah, it was, but he didn't mean it in that sense, do you know what I mean? It was so funny how we have to be careful, isn't it?
Well, why has this happened? Why has this happened to us?
I think it's because people are too sensitive, John, far too sensitive, and it's a shame, really.
Because it was you, because the word queer meant strange, first, I'm guessing.
Exactly.
Did it?
Yes, it did,
Then it came to mean gay.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate, because I don't know who ever used that as a use of that, because it's rubbish, isn't it? It's not, you know. I mean, there's nothing wrong with being gay, is there?
I mean,
for other people who are like that, of course.
That's sort of a typical thing to say, wasn't it? For other people, obviously, you know. Fine. Yeah. No, well, of course, fair enough.
Have you ever read
the famous five books, Jonathan?
I used to love them. You know, my favourite was lashings. When they used to have lashings, and again, I'm not talking about anything. Oh gosh, we've got to be so careful what we say.
No, just say it. Doesn't matter.
They loved lashings of cream on their tea, didn't they? But see, you can't. But what are they going to put in instead of lashing? Because that might mean flagellation.
It might mean flagellation. Cream might mean something else.
You're going to have to rewrite the whole book.
Why don't we try and do that this afternoon? Someone could send us in a chapter. Ring us up with a new chapter of Famous Five. So we can't say queer, we can't say lashings.
Can't say cream.
No, ginger beer they used to drink in the Famous Five books.
Oh, they can't say ginger beer, can you?
Because that's probably rhyming slang.
Rhyming slang? I can't imagine what it rhymes with. Tear. Crying, that's it, a ginger beer. I had a ginger beer in my eye.
Yeah, you wouldn't want a queer in your eye, would you, though? That'd be a bit... That'd be slightly painful, I would hazard a guess.
Well, I was a bit queer the other day. I had to go to the optician, and it was a bit funny, because I had a bit of a blinky eye, it was twitching.
What's a blinky eye?
Well, it kept flickering.
Are you Ronaldo?
No.
Were you winking at the bench?
Yeah, I would be.
If you see what I mean. And by that, I wasn't mispronouncing that about a judge or anything. Made that very clear.
And that Ronaldo, I was a bit lost at what was going on the last month, but somebody told me there was a World Netball Championship or something, and was it Mary Rooney had got cried and sent off? I just got lost with the whole thing that was going on.
Oh, I think something happened. Rooney, I think,
kicked a girl or something.
I don't know, something like that.
Let's be fair, I mean, it's netball, isn't it? I mean, you know, they do suffer a bit, these poor girls, playing these heavy games. I do feel sorry for them. But that Mary Rooney, apparently, had said something to what's it, Geraldo, that girl?
Yeah, Geraldo, the presenter from American chat shows.
That's right, with the big bazingas.
And,
right.
and the moustache, weirdly.
And the moustache.
if you're talking about that, Geraldo. This has got very confusing all of a sudden, this conversation.
Well, it has. It's because we have to be careful what we say.
Yes. Do you know what I'm going to have to say now, though?
Go away.
No, I'm going to have to say travel. Here's Joanne Webb.
Thank you. The M25 in Surrey. One lane is...
870-9090-973-84850 is the text or email. homes@lbc.co.uk for, you know, more or less any reason you like. I've got, we were talking about Famous Five's books being changed in many ways to keep abreast, probably can't say that either, of the PC Brigade. But I'm getting some texts in here of alternative titles. Noddy gets rat-arsed on Stella. That's from Liam in Peckham, thank you. Jack and Jill went up the hill to fetch a pail of water. That's technically not Enid Blyton, but never mind. Jack and Jill went up the hill to fetch a pail of water, but then they were arrested for violating Thames Water's drought order. And that's from Sally in the Thames Water area. On the phone, Arthur, hello.
Hi, John, how are you?
I'm fine. Where are you calling from today?
I'm driving on the A312.
The A312. And, yeah. And how is it?
I'm all right. I wanted to talk about this queer thing and, you know, the changing of the word.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just one word. I guess there's so many words that are changing, as a matter of fact, evolving in every language of the world, specifically English language. For example, cool.
Yes.
Means what it didn't used to mean, like, till 40 years ago.
Yeah.
Wicked has also changed. So if the meaning and the rendering of these words have changed over time, then I guess it doesn't really harm people to change them in the book as well.
Well, I don't know, you see, because if everything's got two meanings, actually, couldn't you write a good book? You could write a really confusing book with actually using one word and then meaning the other one. I might do that.
Okay.
But you're saying that if we should change the words, is that what you're saying?
No, not necessarily. I mean, if they have, I don't see anything wrong with it, because if you see the target market of these books, you know, most of the people that are going to read these books.
Children.
And the age group of those particular people.
Yeah.
I guess, I mean, if you're going to use the word wicked in there, or you're going to use the word cool in there, obviously it should mean what those people, you know.
That generation understands.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, I mean, if there are some, particular repercussions of a particular word, and that have changed over time, and the meaning and the rendering of it, I don't see anything wrong with it.
Where are you from, Arthur?
Well, I was, I'm an ethnic omelette, basically. I was born
an ethnic omelette? I'd order one of those.
Yeah. Well, you don't want to, honestly. They're all messed up and everything. You never know what you're going to get in there. But I was born in Canada. I was taken on a, you know, joyride, because my dad was in the service, right? So in the foreign service. So he took me to so many different countries, but, you know, basically I'm Asian.
Right.
So it's really confusing. Sometimes I wonder who I am. But anyways.
And whereas Arthur, though, is quite a sort of traditional name.
It's Arthur, A-T-H-A-R. It's not Arthur.
Oh, okay. That's what someone's written on my screen here. But that's cool. Okay, good.
Right.
See, I said cool then, did you see?
Yeah, speaking of book titles.
Wicked.
You know, we were, a couple of days ago, we're friends, you know, and we just, you know, we're talking funny. And we started giving funny titles to the new Harry Potter book. You know,
did you? Go on then.
If one were to come out, what could it be?
Yeah, go on.
You know, we came up with a couple and they were very hilarious. One of them was Harry Potter and the Nimbus Salesman.
And the what?
And the Nimbus Salesman, you know, Nimbus, the broom on which he
flies. Yeah.
And Harry Potter in Hagrid and McGonagall's love child.
It's certainly interesting. Perhaps, why not try and beat Arthur's Harry Potter title?
Yeah, that's what I wanted for everybody else to do. So
I've just had
funny titles.
I've just had a modern one here from somebody who's not put their name on it, which just simply said, the Famous Five go dogging. Which actually, you know, not necessarily something I want to see, if I'm honest. And would they take Timmy the dog?
Yeah.
These are the questions that have to be asked, Arthur.
John, I see cops. I gotta go. I'm driving. I'm on the phone.
Are you not hands-free?
Sorry?
Are you not hands-free?
No, I'm not.
That's terrible.
That is terrible. I would have loved to talk to you more, but
okay.
I would really certainly want to hear is funny titles from other people.
If they arrest you, ring us back. talk us through
it. Will do.
Okay, thanks.
Can you get me out of this?
We'll do our best.
All right, I gotta go. Bye-bye.
Okay, all right, bye. Arthur, they're calling illegally, you know, which we're not condoning in any way. 08709090973 is the, that'll be the telephone number. 84850 is the text. Holmes@lbc.co.uk will be your email. Book titles. So modern book titles for the famous five books. The Secret Seven books are all coming out. They're even changing the name of the characters, though, in the adventure stories. The girls were called Mary and Jill, and they're being called Zoe and Pippa now. Which is slightly odd. Enid Blyton, I think, will be so angry about this that she would possibly rise from her literary grave and attack like a angry zombie woman with adventure. What am I talking about? Anyway, 08709090973 84850 holmes@lbc.co.uk. Also, don't forget we will be doing the mystery object competition this afternoon as well. But I think I'm just getting word that we can. Have we got time to go over to? No, we haven't. We're going to go over to Wimbledon for live coverage. After the 3:30 headlines, I think we're going to do. Meanwhile, here comes this.
I'm Gary.
Yes, I am him, sitting in for Ian Lee. 08709090973 if you wish to call. 84850 is your text, or holmes@lbc.co.uk is what I believe they call the email. We are talking about the changing of the famous five books, their titles, their characters, their words. We'll also be going over live to Wimbledon for the latest coverage coming up after the news, but from the commentary by a one-year-old child. That, the mystery object competition, and also, hopefully, you know, Joanne will be here live with the travel in the actual studio. He said then, you can also text us 84850. We've got a text here from Nick. I don't think I can read that out, though. It's too rude for a Harry Potter title at this time of day. Holmes@lbc.co.uk is the email if you wish to use that particular function. We can now go over live to the coverage of the Federer-ANSYS match on... is it centre court they're on? I think it is, isn't it? Centre court for the men's quarterfinal at Wimbledon with commentary from a one-year-old. It's William Hurst. Thanks very much, William. More from him live from Centre Court as the afternoon goes on. We'll be bringing you all of those details. And I think you'll agree the action seems to be really hotting up there. Mystery object competition, then. And so, to that, it's a competition with a premise thinner than Keira Knightley in a premiere dress. To wit, then, the mystery object quiz. Last week, when I sat here, I showed you a mystery object, and you simply had to guess what it was. Previously, of course, on the show, we've given away a trip round Steve Allen, the A40 Westway, a council estate. But for this competition, I had four tickets, mine, to give away. Sadly, no one guessed it correctly, so we've rolled the competition over to this week, and we've upped the stakes, because now I've got six tickets to give away. Six tickets away, plus a bonus. Six tickets plus a bonus, and all you have to do is guess the mystery object. And here it is. There it is. What's that? It's quite simple. You have to email or text for this competition. You can text us, 84850. And you can email us, holmes@lbc.co.uk. It's very, very simple. What could be easier? Part possibly from Abby Titmus. So I don't guess is coming in already then, which is good. What's this? Claire? Is it Claire or Clara? I think it's Clara. Clara from Manor Park thinks it's a fire escape. No, afraid not. Pete from a van on a road insists that the mystery object is half an hour of tree surgery. Nope, afraid not. Sheila in Gillingham thinks it's a kettle. Nigel in a park in this... The rain, it seems, thinks it's a rally shopper bike with a gibbon in the front basket. No, afraid it isn't. I'll just show you it again. Okay, there it is. Lorna in Holloway, that's the prison, not the area, thinks it's a section of track from the London to Bromley route used by Southeastern trains. No, I'm afraid not. So if you think you know, there is, as I say, we have 6 tickets to give away, and a bonus. 84850, homes@lbc.co.uk is the number. And the other thing, we were given, you remember this, Nick Ferrari, last week on Breakfast, gave away, after David Beckham celebrated his footballing goal, by vomiting on the side of the pitch. You remember that Nick Ferrari last week had some vomit to give, Beckham's actual vomit to give away. And one lucky listener did indeed win that. And it got us thinking. It got us thinking, though, because obviously he vomited that time. And then when they went out, he started crying. But he did it in front of, what, 18, 19 million viewers on both occasions. So I don't think I've ever vomited in front of 18 or 19 million people, as far as I know. But I did once accidentally vomit. This was on holiday. And I, you know, it was in my younger days. You know, I was young and I needed the drink. So I went to a club. And I came out of the club. And, because I felt sick. Because, frankly, I'd had too much peach schnapps. And I went sort of through what I thought was, I thought, I'll go and be sick over there where no one's watching. I'll just go and be sick over there, it'd be fine. And I went through a hedge, you know, the big dark, it was night, it was a dark hedge. Went through the hedge, leant against a wall the other side of the hedge, and was obviously sick, embarrassingly, on my own shoes, as people are on these occasions. And then when I'd finished, I looked up, and it turned out that what I was leaning against was a big floor-to-ceiling window outside a McDonald's. And the diners of this, about 11 p.m, had just witnessed me vomiting all over my own shoes. So, really, what's the most embarrassing place you've been sick? I think, probably, is an interesting topic of conversation for me. Or, indeed, cried. I'm not suggesting you've done it in front of 18 or 19 million people like David Beckham. Or perhaps you have. Most embarrassing place, then, you've actually vomited or cried. Hopefully not as embarrassing as me. Up a window where people are trying to eat and drink on the other side, which is quite horrible. 08709090973 is the number. We also, obviously, famous five books we're still talking about. I don't think, as I recall, there was a lot of vomiting in any of the famous five books. Not even in five stick their fingers down their throat. There wasn't much vomiting in that, I don't think. But you know, you may know different. So, famous five books, do you read them? What do you agree that they've all been changed? Should they be changed? Should the names be changed? Mystery Object, of course, is also this afternoon. 6 tickets and a bonus to give away. 08709090973. 84850 is the text. Let me just check this text thing here and see if I can make it work. Because I can't very well. I'm sure Ian has people to do this for him. John, okay, here we go. I knew this was it. John, is a mystery object a cushion? That's from Neil in Southend. I know, I'm afraid it's not. Then Karen Essex has written something, some numbers and letters. A World War II unexploded bomb. No, it's not one of those, Karen. I can't see it. So is it Kieran Knightley standing sideways? That's from Andy in a spaceship. Is it a teddy bear? No. Is it a Rootmaster? No, it's not. Hang on, I'll just lift it up again. There you go, there's a mystery object. Who's this one? John, is it a toad that smells of rust? That's from Tony. John, it's the, I think it must be the 55 bus. I hope it is, because it's got to be somewhere. That's from Rob in Fitzrovia, who's waiting for the 55 bus. No, it's not what, I can't read that one out. It's obvious. John, what is wrong with everyone this afternoon? It's quite obvious. It's a bottle of Ombre Solaire, waterproof, because it's raining. That's from Richard in Twickenham. No, it's none of those things. We have 6 tickets and a bonus to give away. If you can tell us the mystery object, we've got to get it. We've got to give it away today. Today's the last day. We rolled it over from last week. Today's the last day we have to do this. So you've got to get this right. But we'll be doing it before 6 o'clock. Hopefully someone will. Jez, hello.
Hiya.
How are you?
Yeah, fine.
Is it raining where you are?
Yeah, it's pouring.
Where are you?
I'm just going to Weston in Hertfordshire.
Okay. Is it humid and thundery lightning-y as well?
Yeah, it's very humid. I haven't seen no lightning yet, though.
It's really unpleasant, isn't it, today?
Yeah, it's horrible.
And yesterday. Is it supposed to be clearing by the weekend? I should know this, because I'm in a radio station, the weather department. I'm not suggesting you've got your own weather department.
No, I don't know what it's going to do, actually.
No? What, you got any plans?
I'll go down the beach.
You're going down the beach?
Hopefully. If it's like this time or not.
Which beach?
Down into, Clacton.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you go there last weekend when it was hot?
Yes. Yeah.
Sunburn, or do you favour
I got very sunburned, actually.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you fall asleep in it?
No, we went jet skiing. A few of my mates and our wives and I went jet skiing down there.
I love jet skiing. You see, I wouldn't do it here, though.
No, we're going to Spain. We're actually going out to Spain in August, taking our jet ski down there. So we're doing it in Spain.
You got your own jet ski?
Yeah, I got our own jet ski.
Oh, brilliant. Mm. I've always wanted a jet ski. But the thing is, it's too cold here, isn't it? Isn't the water too cold if you fall in?
No, it was lovely. The weekend.
Yeah?
Last 4 weeks, we've been jet skiing. It's been lovely. Yeah.
I do like it. I've done it. I was talking about vomiting, which I think is what we're going to be talking about in a moment. But yeah. I did, and I'm not condoning and saying this is a clever thing, but I did once go jet skiing on holiday while I was a bit drunk. And that is wrong thing to do.
That is the wrong thing.
It's very, very terrible. I'm not proud of it.
Yeah.
But it was quite exciting. So, anyway, have you vomited embarrassingly?
Embarrassing place.
Go on.
I was out in Salou in Spain in a bar, which was in the pool.
Yeah.
And I was drinking all day long. I felt fine, got off the stool in the pool, and I was just sick everywhere in the pool.
In a pool?
In a swimming pool, with loads and loads of people in it. I crawled up the hill, get out of the place, being sick everywhere. The following morning, everybody looked at me and was laughing at me.
Oh, that's horrible. Well, did they have to clear the pool?
Yeah, they did have to clear the pool, yeah.
Did people have to swim through it to get to the side? Did they? Because if you did that and didn't keep your mouth shut, it'd be like plankton, wouldn't it? Like a whale. That's quite bad, isn't it, in a pool?
It was very embarrassing, actually. Yeah, my wife cried all night because I was just wasted all night long.
It's just not responsible behaviour. If you did it on a jet ski, would you be going fast enough that you'd just go through it yourself?
It'd probably come back in.
It would, wouldn't it? That's really unpleasant.
Yeah.
So where was this, in Spain?
This was in Spain, in Salou.
And what terrible... I mean, presumably you hadn't just scored a penalty, which is why you were vomiting, like Mr. Beckham.
Yeah. No. I was drinking all day long. Just I was behind the bar talking to some guys from Holland.
Right.
And we just sat there drinking all day long.
You do need a lot to drink if you talk to people from Holland, don't you? That is true.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. And that was that.
That was that, yeah.
So it all came... But the thing is, not wishing to dwell on the specifics, although let's. Was it, if it had been drinking, was it more liquid form, is what all I'm suggesting?
Oh, yeah, it was all liquid form.
So, even though it's still unpleasant, it's not as unpleasant as if, perhaps, it had been,
Yeah, you didn't see it in the water.
No.
Yeah.
No, that's... Was it an interesting... Beckham seemed to be green. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
Why was that?
Oh, he probably wasn't sick. He was probably, probably mint something. He was just making an excuse to come off the pitch or something. That's what I reckon.
Good.
Okay, then you're right then, yeah?
Well, I'm fine. Yeah, thanks for sharing that. That's going to take some beating, actually, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't think anyone could possibly beat the pool vomit. But, let's hope they do. 08709090973, Jez, if someone can beat your vomiting story.
See you then.
All right, thanks for that. Can you beat that? I vomited up a McDonald's window once. And Jez vomited in a swimming pool. 08709090973, if you can beat that. Or the most embarrassing place you burst into tears, like Beckham did it at the side of a... In fact, he did it at the press conference as well, the big girl. And Rooney probably cried as well, but I don't... it's difficult to tell with his face, because it's a bit like a potato that's being squeezed through a string bag. So it's a bit difficult to see what his face is doing. A mystery object competition. I think we've got some more entries here. John, is it a badger digging a hole because he's being chased by Timmy the dog? See, that's Sarah there cleverly linking up both the mystery object competition and the famous five poor idea for a phone-in that I had. John, what the mystery object is, is it a key from a 200-year-old piano which is being repeatedly knocked against a monkfish and it's got two black socks? And that's from Sasha in Ealing. No, Sasha, it's not. But I can tell you what we are doing now, Sasha in Ealing, and it's going to Joanne Webb with the travel... Who's actually come into the studio like she said she would. Hello.
Hello, this is very rare, isn't
How
it?
How lovely to meet you.
I don't think I've done this for ages.
Why don't you normally come in? Are you just too lazy to come upstairs?
No, it's because we have a million other things to do.
Don't make
No, we really do,
what
honestly.
A million other things?
Well, we have to look after other stations.
All right, then.
Our sister stations.
You better do us some travel, won't you?
Okay, right. On the North Circular Road at Brent Cross, really bad around that area because of the heavy rain. And also on the A41 at Brent Cross, there's been some damage to a manhole cover. So it's not looking good. Heavy rain, flooding, the whole area is looking absolutely horrendous. Thanks for all your calls on the jam line. Do keep them coming in to me, though. It's 08000 68 60 80. And also problems at Henley's Corner with the flooding, so that's affecting the A1 and the North Circular Road as well. Now, we're heading on to the M25. All sorts of problems at the moment. Firstly, in Surrey, there's still one lane closed clockwise from Junction 8 to 9. That's Reigate to Leatherhead after that crash from earlier this morning. And also on the M25, clockwise between Junction 6 and 7. That's Godstone to the M23. There's a lane closed after another accident. Still very busy anti-clockwise into the Dartford Tunnel. And what's happening is lots of people are avoiding that closure from much earlier on today, going around the M25 the other way. So there's still queues from Junction 4 at Alpington. Over on the Essex side, still very busy clockwise from 29 to 30, A127 to the A13 after the outside lane was closed after a broken down car. M25 looking horrible into the roadworks both ways, especially anti-clockwise, and the M1 accident heading into town at Junction 9, the A5, is causing delays back to Junction 10. Better news on the underground, the district line's now back up and running, but with delays, the Jubilee line's also running with delays as well. Your next update in 15 minutes, LBC 97.3 travel with Confused.com. When it comes to car insurance, we'll do the legwork for you.
Do you notice I've got the air conditioning working as well?
It's lovely now.
Isn't that much better?
Yeah.
Yeah. See? Oh, I have done that.
Did you work it out?
Not anyone else. I sorted that. I don't really know how to work any of this equipment.
It is quite scientific, isn't it, to switch on the air conditioning unit.
But I'm quite...
It's normally a big green button.
A what?
A big green button.
Oh, I thought you said a bigger ring button. I don't know what that is. A bigger ring button.
Yeah.
It's lovely to meet you.
Yeah, you know.
I had no idea you had hair like that or anything.
Well, I think, though, I used to do some stuff with you before in a previous life, but I'm just trying to work out if I...
Well, what have you done in your previous life?
Well, no. We can talk later about it, but...
Well, let's talk now.
Well, no, because you used to do some writing for somebody who used to work with me.
Right.
But I can't think I do know you. Because
no.
I thought coming here and your face would be really familiar. But then it's not.
My face isn't familiar.
No.
Not as a face, like Wayne Rooney. It doesn't look much like a face.
No, God, no. No, I just thought maybe I'd seen you around.
See me around?
Seen you around,
around
you know?
Town, like a hep cat.
Sort of.
Yeah.
No, not familiar at all.
Oh, well, I apologise for not being familiar.
Yeah.
I don't like to be too familiar. I'd only just met you.
No, but the things I thought we might have met before, but we hadn't remembered each other.
No.
God, that could be quite romantic, couldn't it?
Yeah.
When will I see you again?
That's lovely.
Yeah.
Excellent. Now you're here.
Right.
I don't want to waste the time.
Yeah, I've got to be back by 4.
Yeah, you've
got... It's taking me too long.
I mean, a million things to do, obviously.
Millions.
Yeah. And they're not... You just make the travel up. I know that. As a prize, though, because I've got 6 tickets to give away.
Bless you.
For the Mystery Object Competition. But I thought to add to that, because you're from travel.
Yes.
If you could draw us a picture of a car...
A car,
on this bit of paper, and then sign it.
Yeah.
That can go in the prize with the prize tickets.
Really?
So it'd be a car drawn by Joanne from the travel.
Oh, I've got a pen. I've got a nice pen. That's horrible blue.
What's wrong?
Blue pens are evil, aren't they?
What do you mean?
Do you never... When you're signing a card, you always have to do it in a black pen, because blue just looks evil.
What on earth are you talking about?
Blue ink is evil.
Why is it evil?
I don't know. Black... I always
in
have to
way
sign...
Has blue ink ever
I don't
been...
know. So, I really don't know
you
why.
You know, it's not the Damien Omen 2, the film, wasn't about a blue pen.
You don't know. There might have been a subliminal message in there about blue ink.
In Damien, in the Book of Revelation, you don't have 666, the number of the blue pen.
Maybe if you read the Bible backwards, you might be able to find the blue ink scary message.
Okay, you're just scary.
Shall I do that. Are you asking me this question?
Hang on, we'll do it in a minute, but you do that.
Oh, okay.
I'm Gary.
So if you want to guess the mystery object this afternoon, you can do it via text, 84850, or you can email... homes@lbc.co.uk. We now have 6 tickets and a bonus to give away, plus a signed drawing by Travel's Joanne Webb of her driving a car. So if you get it right, you can have that. You've also got her travel notes that she scrawled all over, and in her actual handwriting, she's written the words manhole cover and delays. So there, you can have all that as a prize if you get it right. John, is the mystery object a dirty sock? No. John, I've changed my mind. This is Alex in Ashton. John, I've changed my mind. The mystery sound... It's not a mystery sound, you idiot. It's an object. But is the mystery object a seagull landing on a soft surface? No. John, is it a blow-up weather girl in a car? No. John, come back soon, Ian Lee. That's from Ian Lee. So, on the... How long have we got before thing? Two, right, OK, well, let's talk to David in Croydon then. Hello, David.
Hello, I've got an old Wilfred Pickles story for you. Have you heard of Wilfred Pickles?
No.
Well, he was a comedian, sort of entertainer in the 50s, 40s perhaps. He's related to Judge Pickles.
Judge Pickles, the dog that found the FA Cup.
I'm not sure. But this is a story that Wilfred Pickles told. It's only very brief.
OK.
It's about a boy who was urinating in the swimming pool. So the headmaster called in the mother and father and said, look, young Johnny's been urinating in the swimming pool. And they said, well, nothing unusual about that. They all do it. He said, yeah, but not off the high diving board.
Oh. Is that, are you sure, David, that's not something you've done?
Oh, I've not done that. No, I'm a non-swimmer.
Are you?
Yes.
Well, you wouldn't, yeah, but if you're weeing off a high dive board, you don't have to actually go in the water yourself.
No. I would, there's not been nature, my lad.
Isn't it? Have you ever, been in a swimming pool?
Yes, of course I have. I think we all have.
Well, I haven't.
Well, you haven't.
No.
Well, you must be...
I vomited up a McDonald's window, as I think we've established.
Really? Outside?
Oh,
yeah. It was nicked, unlike that marathon runner who wasn't nicked.
It was an
accident.
It was, well, maybe, but it was an accident.
What, do you mean it was an accident?
Well,
I walked too much.
Yeah, and I walked through through a hedge, thinking, I'll go and be sick behind here, because it's out of the way. And I leant against, I was a bit drunk, obviously, leant against a wall, what I thought was a wall, did my sick, and then it turned out that the wall was actually a big plate glass window in a McDonald's.
Disgusting.
Isn't that horrible?
People like you should be given Asbos.
I've already got an Asbo.
Have you?
Yep.
But you're the only one in London that has one.
Only what, sorry?
I bet you're the only person in London that's got an Asbo. What, are you chained to a ball and chain or something? Have you got a tag on your ankle?
I've got a tag and I've got an Asbo. And in fact, the only reason I'm here now is because it's community service.
Well, you're on licence, on parole.
I'm out on licence and parole, and I've got an Asbo. And I've got a special collar around my neck, like Rutger Hauer in the film Wedlock, that explodes if I go out of a, you know.
If you speak to that Ian Lee, I've got a message for him.
Very quickly.
Get a life.
Get a life. I'll pass that on. Thank you, David. Lovely to talk to you. David there, the man who wheezes off high dive boards and pretends it's someone else. 0870 90 90 973. Do please call. The lines are open now. You will get on the radio. Don't forget the mystery object quiz as well. 84850. Hello, I'm John Holmes and I'm sitting in this chair for Ian Lee. That's quite odd in the news there. The story about the people who managed to get onto centre court brandishing rackets, and then someone going, well, that's absolutely outrageous. I'm totally shocked that someone could get into Wimbledon with brandishing a racket. Well, you know, why not? It's not necessarily a big security issue taking a racket to Wimbledon, is it? That's like, you know, recently those guys got into, like, one bloke even went into the Houses of Parliament and got through security and then threw some flour on the floor and went, that could have been anthrax. I've thrown flour on the floor. That could be anthrax. And your security system didn't pick it up, did it? Well, no, because it wasn't anthrax. It was flour. And had you walked in with some anthrax, they'd have probably got you. But as it was, you just walked in with some flour and they went, well, flour, that's fairly harmless, isn't it? Unless, you know, you bake a cake and then poison it, or which, you know, you're not really going to have time to do between security and the main hall of the House of Parliament. And also, unless you perhaps mix it with some water and turn it into glue and then leave it on the floor just to annoy the politicians. So really, flour, not that dangerous. So don't be so smug about getting it through security. Like, similarly, people going into Wimbledon with some tennis rackets, security probably went, oh, there's, some tennis fans coming to Wimbledon. That's no great surprise. And they've brought tennis rackets. That's good. Perhaps they want them signed or something. And then they go, how dare they bring tennis rackets to Wimbledon? That's like someone taking some barley water in and then getting done for it. Ridiculous. Anyway, I've no idea what I'm talking about. Jason, hello.
Yeah, hi there.
Hello to you. Where are you from today?
812, going towards Chelmsford.
Okay. Have you ever smuggled a tennis racket into a tennis tournament?
No, only a large banana.
Only a large banana. See, no one's going to be suspicious of that, are they?
No, not at all.
There's no point. If you even got that large... If you took that large banana, right, and you ran into, say, the Houses of Parliament...
Yeah.
...through security, and then when you got in through security with your large banana, and then you put it on the floor of the reception of the House of Parliament, right, and then go, ha! I sneaked through security with this, and it could have been anything.
And they'd probably put a banana skin on the floor, slip over it, and sue them.
So there you go. But technically, through security, they're probably going to go, "Oh, he's just got a banana."
Yeah.
And then you run in and go, well, it could have been. Yeah, but it wasn't, was it? It was a banana. So, pointless.
Madness.
Madness gone mad. Know what that is. So anyway, have you got, John, I'm just going to, you carry on, I'm just going to fiddle with the air conditioner.
I've got a story for you.
Yeah, go on.
And there was some good and some bad that came from it. I was at a rave about 20 years ago, and they had the Hearts and Diamonds, which is the big circle thing that spins around really fast, sticks you to it, goes up on its side.
Oh, is that what it's called, a Hearts and Diamonds?
Hearts and Diamonds.
I thought they were called a Wall of Death or something.
No, this one goes up on its side, and they're called that because they have those shaped cushions on the back of your head. So, as it's gone on its side, I've unfortunately been sick, and it went straight out into the middle, stayed there. I went one complete circle, and the girl I'd gone on with, who was next to me, it came back and hit her in the face.
Oh.
So the bad thing is that ended a very beautiful friendship, but I learnt about centrifugal forces, which is a plus side.
Every cloud has a silver lining.
That's right.
Even if it's a silver lining covered in vomit.
And did you? I could not believe it, because I just turned my head to one side and it hit her.
Did you still snog her, though?
No, I didn't see her again.
Didn't you? Well, you should have just gone. You should have just gone in for a bit of a kiss.
I could have licked it off her face.
You could have licked it off her face. It's your. At the end of the day, it's come out of your mouth, so you're not getting it. You know what? What's the problem?
Very much so. I couldn't see why she was so upset.
No. You know, it's, at least you didn't do it mid snog.
Oh,
I wonder if anyone's ever done that.
I've never been on one of those since.
That really put you off for life, did it?
For life, absolutely.
So where was this, did you say? Was it a rave?
Yeah, a rain dance in Beckton 20 years ago.
Good Lord. Sorry, carry on. I really am just trying to work the air conditioning work. Because I don't know how to work... You don't know how to work air conditioning, do you?
Yeah, in my car. Nice.
Yeah, I can say, if you were close, you could come and pop by and make it work for
just
me.
Just make sure you switch it on at the plug. That's all you need to do.
So, was it the first time you'd been on a Hearts and Diamonds, or whatever they're called?
Yes.
And so first and last time?
I couldn't believe it. It went all the way out to the middle, which was about 20 metres.
That's brilliant.
And then came back with everyone's face, like panicking, thinking he was going to hit them.
Did you sort of watch it in slow motion as well?
It was slow motion.
That's excellent.
Completely.
So it just hung in the middle of the ride?
In the middle, and then came flying back as we turned by full circle.
So what physics are behind this? Did you look into it? I mean, like I say, centrifugal force, of course.
Yes.
So exactly how does that work? I'm trying to work out.
Gravity sucks it back.
So it's the same principle of when you swing a bucket of water around your head. And it stays in.
Exactly.
Or a bucket of sick, if you wanted to.
I was just pleased it didn't hit me.
Yeah. But, so, and you've never seen the girl again?
Never seen her again. Last time I saw her screaming, running to the toilets.
Yeah, but was it still going round, though, when it hit her?
Yes.
So how long did it go round with her?
It went round for another maybe a minute. Screaming.
That's...
And I just kept looking, thinking, I just could not kiss you now, sorry.
I think you should have done it. Honestly, Jason, that's the only way you could have got out of it.
So that has got to be the worst vomit story, I'm sure.
That is pretty bad. But I mean, if we think that anyone can beat it, then I mean we've now had
banana.
You what?
And then they can win a large banana if they
could. Well, then you could give them your banana.
That's it, half eaten, of course.
And then the other half sicked up.
That's the one.
Jason, thank you for that.
All right, my pleasure, mate.
Yeah, good talk to you. Thanks very much, Verinda. Hello.
Hello.
Is it you again?
Yeah, I'd like to say sorry for last week.
Are you apologising?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
What's changed your mind?
Someone that's your friend, and is my friend, told me to apologise.
On MySpace.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. You see, well, that's fair enough. The virtual world of MySpace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do. A request for you, but you didn't add me.
Oh, I haven't looked at it. Have you requested to be my friend? Now, we should just back up a bit here, in case no one heard you have a go at me last week. Weren't you standing at a bus stop or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, so remind us what happened?
I was standing at a bus stop, and I was complaining about the show.
That's right, you were, yeah. Because you were you listening at a bus stop?
Yeah.
Yeah. On your mobile?
Yeah.
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 Down with the kids.
Can I guess the mystery object, please?
It's a text only or email competition, but seeing as it's you and you've apologised,
then
and I'll make sure I add you on as my MySpace friend as well, if you like.
Can I have a clue, please?
Come what?
A clue.
You want a clue?
Yeah.
It's a thing.
Okay.
The mystery object is a thing.
Okay then. Is it a camera?
No, it's not, Rinda. It's not a camera. I'm sorry about that.
Oh.
Never mind. Hang on, though, because... can you wait there?
Yes.
OK. Don't go anywhere. Good. Hello, I'm John Holmes, sitting in for Ian Lee. Yes, I am him. Verinda, you still there?
Yeah.
Good. I just wanted to say, just wanted to keep you hanging on for a while there so I could say goodbye.
Okay.
Okay, cheers. Bye. Mark in Dagenham, hello.
Hello, John.
Hello, how are you?
Oh, sweaty and horrible and I'm melting.
You why, are you made of snow?
No, I'm just melting in the van. I've had enough.
What?
I've just had enough of the heat.
Are you in a hot van?
I'm in a hot van with no aircon either.
Oh, why are you driving a van with no aircon?
Well, I'm just stopped now because I'm just had enough. I've really had enough. I mean, I'll fill out with water here.
What have you been? What have you been doing in your van today?
I can't tell you. Secret.
Why is it? What do you mean? It's a secret.
No, I'm a bailiff.
You're not.
No, I am. Yeah.
You're a bailiff.
Yeah.
And you've got what have you got? What's in your van then?
Bits and pieces.
Go on. Go on.
And things like that.
What? Sorry.
Clamps. Clamps.
Oh, clamps. I thought you said...
Wheel clamps.
Planks. I thought, what are you going to do then?
No, they're the people who pay. They're the planks.
Ah. So how many people have you bailiffed today?
Oh, loads and loads and loads and loads. I'm a bit of a compassionate one. I work for a council, so I'm a bit of a compassionate one.
Oh, you're not a, you know, violent thug one?
Oh, no, I used to be.
Did you?
Yeah.
Excellent.
But, you know, I get a bit old now, and I think myself, I've had enough of all this.
So you thought, well, I'll, you know, rather than, you know, just go and punch people... I'll sort of chill out and go and work for a council.
No, you can't punch people like that. It's not like the old days.
Can you not? Did you work in the old days?
Yeah.
Yeah? Go on. Who's the, I want to weigh this up properly, okay? So someone owed how much money would it take, in the old days, mind, not saying it happens now, and I'm certainly not saying a council.
Well, no, I'll tell you one, right? He actually clamped his car up, yeah? And he came out and smashed his own car up.
What? Okay, now that is stupid.
Yeah, but I unclamped it, so I don't want it no more.
So he smashed his own car up because you were taking it away, or?
Yeah, I was going to take it away.
Yeah, because he owed the money to the car.
Well, maybe half. He's a phone the police up, so he couldn't turn around and say it was an insurance or anything like that. You know, a bit of vandalism, could they? So he smashed his own car. It's a lovely car as well. Smashed it all up, and I said, oh, sorry, it's unclamped, so I don't want it no more.
While I was trying to work out the ratio, really, if someone owes, say that someone owes £100.
Yeah.
Right? And they haven't paid it.
Right.
Right? For £100.
Yeah.
In the old days. Not now. Yep. I'm not saying a council would do this. No. Right? Would you punch someone for £100?
Nah.
No? £200?
Oh, no, I don't punch people anyway. You don't punch people. We're more professional than that. You know what I mean? You talk to people and you know, you're there on authority.
Yeah.
You don't punch people anymore. You know what I mean?
Is that just a myth? Is that
it is a myth. But at the end of the day, I mean, you know, at that stage, when they're doing the job, they've got more powers than the police.
Yeah.
Yeah, so at the end of the day, they call the police, ask them what they're doing. At the end of the day, they can't do nothing. Only they're prevent a breach of the peace.
So, there we go. So what's...
I've got a vomiting story for you.
Go on, a vomiting story.
Right.
Does it involve trying to get something off someone who owes money, but you were sick on them?
No.
Oh, okay. Although, you know, that'd be deterrent, wouldn't it?
No, anyway, no, I was 9 years old, yeah?
Yeah.
My mum's friends come over with their son, Jason.
Yeah.
And we used to live in a flat at the time. Anyway, we had Sunday lunch, and I said to my dad, can I go out? He said, no, son, you'll be sick. I said, oh, please, please, go on. My mum said, oh, go on, let him go out. So anyway, goes out on the bike, goes round the block on the bike. And do you remember the old paraffin, the fillers on the side of the road?
No.
Fill up paraffin. Well, they were in the old days, they were like paraffin fillers. You put your money in, you used to fill up with paraffin.
What, on the side of the road?
On the side of the road. You went running little alley round the corner.
What sort of crazy danger is that?
Seriously, right? So I goes round on my bike, overstepped the corner, went right round into the paraffin filler upper.
Yeah.
And I went bang, straight over into the fence. So Jason has run up to me mum's, trying to say, quick, Mark's been hurt, Mark's been hurt. As I'm coming up the stairs,
yeah,
I'm puking up all over the place. So my dad's come out and give me a good hiding of him, I told his son. So I'm being sick and having a good hiding of my dad as well.
At the same time.
And all my family were cracking up.
Oh, that's a nice family. Did he, as he was sort of hitting you, did he sort of time the good hiding with the vomit coming out?
He actually did. He said, I told you.
Was it much the same way as trying to get ketchup out of a bottle?
Yeah, something like that, yeah. It was, I mean, it was just the way it was, and I was just going crying my eyes out, I just, like, puke coming at me nose.
Tears.
And tears.
Like David Beckham, he had both of those things.
No, he didn't have diced carrots out coming out, did he? He didn't have a Sunday dinner coming out.
No, he didn't, no.
But that was bad. But, I mean, that was in the old days.
Yeah. Everything's happened in the old days to you. Well, anyway, what's this about paraffin? Ian, oh, he's I don't know where he's gone there.
Well, it might have changed for Netmap, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, you know, it's like supply teaching, as I always say when I come in here. You know, when you turn up at school and expecting your normal teacher, and then they're off sick or something.
Yeah, well, I spoke to Bob the other day, because he's back on Clyde 4, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And I said, what happened to him? And he said, oh, it's a long story. I said, yeah, he got you in a headlock, give you a Chinese burn, didn't he?
I need to know, Mark. I've got to go, but right, you've absolutely opened up an interesting world of paraffin heaters at the side of the road fillers.
That was very true. Very true. You have little fillers
too bizarre.
At the side of the road. Put your money in, right, and it's to fill up the paraffin container.
Bizarre.
There we go. Same as a cigarette machine. Remember the cigarette machine?
No, not next to a paraffin thing, I wouldn't
know. No, but outside the cigarette shops, you used to have a little, like, senior service or tin number six and that.
Blimey.
I'll be first fag when I was nine.
No wonder you were sick. right, thanks, Mark. Philip, hello.
Good afternoon, John.
Do you remember paraffin fillers by the
side? I used to work in a hardware shop and we sold paraffin, but I don't remember these paraffin fillers.
No, I don't. And I thought, you know, you'd remember them if any, because you always brilliantly ring up with going, ah, now I know about this.
No, funny enough, I don't. The reason I rang, John, was you were talking about Wilfred Pickles.
Yeah, well, yes, I call it a man was, yes.
Yeah, well, Wilfred Pickles was a legend. He had a radio show called Have a Go.
Yes.
And what it was, he used to go around various places, you know, old people's homes, factories, and he'd do a show. And he'd get them to come along and he'd ask them questions, like, you win prizes, like, you know, have you had an embarrassing moment? Are you caught in? That was the sort of things he asked.
It's kind of like this. If we took this around people's houses.
Yeah.
If we actually went and broadcast this rubbish that I'm doing round houses.
I think you should revive Have a Go.
What a good idea.
And, I mean, he had his wife, Mabel, who was on the table, and they had a woman called...
I'm not going to ask what she was doing on the table, but I'm going to hold that thought for a moment, Philip, as should you. Reasons to listen. 08709090973, if you want to call us. 84850 is your text. homes@lbc.co.uk is your thing. And many, many answers now piling in for the mystery object competition. We've got 6 tickets to give away. So please keep them coming at 84850. Lorna, very quickly, Lorna, hello.
Hello. Nothing to do with the competition, but the gentleman that was on a few seconds ago.
Hang on, Lorna, 5 seconds, carry on.
Wilfred Pickles.
3
the
seconds.
The pianist was Eight and the Sharples.
On FM. And we can now go over live to Centre Court at Wimbledon for coverage of the men's quarter final from a 1-year-old. Things are getting very exciting there. Obviously you heard him talking about the people who broke into Wimbledon and played with the rackets alongside Federer there as well. So we'll, of course, be keeping you up to date via a 1-year-old with what's going on at Wimbledon as the afternoon wears on. 0870 90 90 973, you want to call us. 84850 or homes@lbc.co.uk are your text and email, respectively. Philip, hello. Sorry to keep you holding
no problem, John,
so long.
You came on the line there was absolutely right. The lady who played the piano was an actress called Violet Carson.
Yes.
Who later went on to be famous, of course, as Ina Sharples in Coronation Street.
Mm.
And it was a sort of it was such a show for its period, but, as I said, I think that if you revived it, you could go around the old people's homes and...
I'd love to do that.
Battersea Dogs Home.
Imagine doing this show live from an old people's home one day, Battersea Dogs Home the next.
Yeah, the Woolwich Ferry.
The Woolwich Ferry, Holloway Prison.
Circle Line.
The Circle Line, signal would be a bit rubbish down there, though.
No. The thing was that you had ordinary people, and you know, it was great to hear them, you know, like, well, there was one couple had been married I think about 63 years, and he was asking them, you know, what was the secret. I can't remember what it was of their happy marriage.
Was it the same one as at the end of the Da Vinci Code?
I don't know. I don't know. It's but it was just wonderful people, John.
Well, it's wonderful people like yourself, Philip, that phone up and make this sort of thing what it is. But you're right, to get out there. Well, it's like earlier. Did you hear Joanne Webb? Normally I talk to Joanne and she's in a room downstairs.
Oh, she's up with you today.
She popped in. I asked her to pop up so I could, you know, just wanted to see what she looked like.
Right, yeah.
Do you know, and I was quite impressed.
She's
quite foxy.
We should have a webcam in the studio so we could all see.
That's not a bad idea. Is there a webcam in here?
I think there's one in the newsroom. I think I was checking the website the other day. I think you've got one in downstairs for the 11:52 crowd.
You know more than I do.
Well, I was just looking to have a look at your new website that you've got.
It's a bit funky, isn't it?
It is. You know, yeah. It takes a while to get used to all the, you know, the various things that you have to do. Just one other thing, John.
Yeah.
All these famous people that are swimming the channel, have you ever thought of doing anything like that?
No. Because, you know, I don't like to like, I do a lot for charity, Philip. I just don't like
all
to,
right,
don't
yeah.
like to talk
no,
about
it. No, but I was thinking of the swimming, you know.
Oh, really. Do you know what? I was thinking about this, because David Walliams has just done
right,
it,
yeah,
off
yeah.
of Little Britain. And he's just swum the channel.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I couldn't even envisage going in the water.
No.
There. Too cold. Like earlier, the guy talking about jet skiing off Clacton, and I'm thinking, well, yeah, that's all right, but, you know, when I go jet skiing, I like it to be abroad, where the water is lovely and warm. I went to Dubai last year.
Oh, right, what's it like there? I've never been there.
You know, I'm thinking, I think it's hot here right now. It was 45 degrees.
Wow.
Every day. And you went, if you were in a hotel or, you know, a shop or something, if you walk past the door... on the inside of the shop or the hotel.
Yeah.
You know how you just got a blast of hot air, like opening an oven door.
What is that in Fahrenheit, 45, John?
What's that? About 96?
Well, I was in Vegas.
I don't know, 90...
I was in Vegas in April and it was 100 degrees. I don't know what that is in centigrade.
Yeah.
And it was, as you've just said, you want to stay in where it's nice and cool.
Yeah, but the sea, going in the sea.
Yeah.
I thought, yeah, go in the sea. And it wasn't just warm sea.
No.
It was actually hot.
Oh, dear.
And quite big waves as well.
Yeah,
and I got in there, and it just, I couldn't believe it. I was like, it took your breath away.
Yeah.
It's too hot. The water was nearly boiling in the sea. That's just weird.
I wonder what it's like down in Brighton today, whether it's warm in the sea down there or somewhere.
Not that warm.
Maybe you've got something.
But I certainly wouldn't be swimming the channel. What about you, Philip? Have you ever considered?
I can't swim. I tell you what, I did do something this year. A lot of people have heard me tell this story before, so I hope I don't bore them.
Okay, well, I haven't heard it, so that's fine.
I did some whitewater rafting when I was on holiday.
Right.
And they said it, I can't swim, but they said, you've got a life jacket and everything, and if you fall in, we'll drag you out.
Yeah, possibly dead, but we'll drag you out.
They said it was at the Grade 2 River. This was in Wyoming, it was the Shoshone River.
Mm.
And they said, it's Grade 2, you will get wet, but it's, you know, you've got rapids, you'll be all right.
Yeah.
And it was the most wonderful thing, one of the most wonderful things I've ever done.
See, I quite fancy the whitewater, but again, I'm a bit wary of that.
Yeah.
But you think I should do it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. They said if you fall in, lie flat, we'll submerge you and then drag you back into the raft.
See, it's the word submerge and drag. But, sort of
I think where we went, it was sort of coming into in the industrial area. The river was, there were definitely rapids. Oh, they were definitely rapids. I was hanging on for dear life. But, as I say...
How rapid were they?
Well, I'd love to know how they grade them. Because
on a scale of 1 to 10, were they, you know, 4 rapid or 8 rapid?
Well, they say this was a Grade 2 rapid, the one the river I went down.
There's one grade, isn't there, where you're not allowed to go down it. It's too dangerous for
I think
even,
that must be a 6.
Even the men out of Deliverance.
Yeah. Oh, wow, yes.
Mm.
Oh, I mean, that type of film would put anybody off going out into the wilds.
Yeah, well, yes. Yeah, so you first go, that'd make an interesting, you know, people do stag night weekends and stuff, stag weekends.
Yes, yes.
You know, and obviously you go white water rafting, you're paintballing.
Yes, oh yes.
So perhaps, you know, there's a new stag weekend which incorporates white water rafting.
Yes.
Paintballing.
Yeah, that's an idea, you know, sort of like pirates chasing each other with guns and...
And then at the end of it, you get caught by some backwoodsman who make you squeal like a piggy.
Yeah,
that'd be an interesting end of a stag weekend.
Yeah, I don't think that. I'm glad that we didn't encounter anything like that on the trip down the river I went on.
Well, I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah.
No. But what were you doing? You went to Vegas as well.
John, I went on a coach trip, and we started off in Denver,
yeah.
And we went up through Wyoming, up to South Dakota, Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, yeah. I've done that trip, not on a coach, but I've driven it.
Isn't Wyoming a fantastic state?
Yeah. Did you go to the bit in Wyoming with, you know, out of Close Encounters of the Third Kind?
No, we weren't able to. I gather we could have seen it, but it was a foggy day. We went to Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
And we also went to Deadwood. We went to the Crazy Horse Memorial. Did you go to that,
Jack? Is that the big sculpture thing?
Yes.
Yeah. This is like just turning into a lovely chat about travel now.
Oh, wow. I mean, that people think of Mount Rushmore, but this one is so close.
Yeah, they basically carved it out of the side of a mountain, haven't they?
And they're still working on it,
I know. Yeah, and it's been doing it for years. And what is it? It's in case anyone doesn't know, frankly, because it's just me and you on this. it's a man on a horse. It's an Indian on a horse.
It's the Indian head. Saw it from a distance, but it's just the head of Crazy Horse.
Oh, right, I knew it was something to do with Hawthorne.
And as I say, they're still working on it, and I think they're just keeping it going to keep the tourists. But even so, never mind, it's really, really worth seeing. And then we went across and we came down to a place called Jackson Hole. Did you go to Jackson?
I remember Jackson Hole.
Oh, I like Jackson Hole. And then right the way down...
No, we should make that very clear, that's not anything to do with Michael Jackson, because that would be a bit weird.
That's
not a good place to visit.
Right the way down, we went to Yellowstone National Park.
Yeah.
Where we went down to Utah, to all the canyons, Bryce, Zion, and the one that impressed me the most was did you ever go to Arizona, a place called Page?
No, I've never been
there. They've got what they call a slot canyon, S-L-O-T.
Yeah.
Where you walk through it, and the light...
This is back to Michael Jackson again, isn't it?
And it's the light comes through the top. It's the most amazing thing one of the most amazing things that you can do on holiday. Ended up in Vegas.
I like Vegas. I like Vegas a great deal. Have you didn't embarrassingly sort of get drunk and be sick anywhere embarrassing?
No, I'd been to Vegas on a couple of occasions, so I sort of knew my way around.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting place. People say, oh, I don't gamble, but you don't have to.
No, do you know, this is good advice for everyone. If you want to go to Vegas, right, just go.
Because
if you don't gamble, it's so cheap.
It is, the food is.
Because
all the
hotels are discounted just to get people to go in.
That's right.
The food is cheap.
There's so much to see. I mean, you've got the Boulder, Hoover Dam, you've got the desert, there's amazing.
The Grand Canyon, of course.
Yeah, the Grand Canyon. Oh, wow.
I went up to Area 51.
Oh, wow, did you?
The not really existing government base where they keep aliens? I thought, well, I'll go and do that. So drove, found maps from geeks on the internet, because there's not many maps. Drove sort of out of Vegas for about 200 miles, and then found Area 51. And do you know what? We were frightened. I'd read that this might happen. And as you drive across this old dusty road onto, where this base is. Just above us, this pickup truck with blacked out windows just started following it. In the middle of the desert. And then men with guns got out.
No.
And just with sunglasses as well, and stared at us until we left. And there's a sign as you drive round a corner, in just in the middle of the desert on this road, and it just says, warning, do not go any further, use of deadly force authorised.
Dear.
And I didn't go any further.
Oh, well,
I
mean,
I'm a bit of a scaredy when it comes to that and swimming the channel, which is somehow how we got onto this subject. And I feel like, we just...
We've been all around America in
conversation.
15 minutes.
Philip, we've got to have a break. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you, as always. But thanks very much for calling.
Okay.
We will take a break. But if you want to call us, 0870 909 0973.
How was Scott?
Good afternoon to you. 08709090973 is the number. If you give us a call, you will get through. We are talking, for some frightening reason, about... we started off talking about embarrassing places you vomited or cried, based on the fact that Mr. David Beckham did both of those things. I've just got one text here. Can I just... Have a read of this, Helen. Is that all right? Where is it? This is John. What? Just bear with me. Oh, here we go. John, at my mate's firm's Christmas do, I drank too much as you do, and then ran up the stairs to the toilet, feeling sick, but threw up all over the staircase as I was going upstairs. This doesn't sound too bad, but it was an open plan staircase with all the diners' coats that were under the stairs. I'd send quite a few flowers to a lot of people. That's from Terry in Romford, thank you. A lot of entries coming in as well, still, for the mystery object competition. Bill in Plaistow thinks it's an airport. No, I'll just hold the object up again. If you think you know what this is... If you think you know what that is, don't forget we do have six tickets to give away, and a bonus, and... a signed picture that Joanne from Travel has done of herself driving a car. All of those could be yours if you get the mystery object right. Jonathan in a daycare centre is sure that it's a punnet of blackberries, but the electronic sort that send emails. I'm afraid not. No, Nikki has texted from a fight. She thinks it's a hot dog sausage, half in and half out of a pencil case. No, good and close, surprisingly close, actually, Nikki, but no. Mike from Rochester has just emailed the word anthrax over and over again, so I've alerted the police to him. They're on their way, Mike, just so you know. And they don't need any evidence in order to just to smash your door down and shoot you in the shoulder. So if you think you know what the mystery object is, we do have a very good prize to give away. 84850 on the text, homes@lbc.co.uk on the email. We are getting some in on the email, actually. Let's have a look, because it wasn't working. In fact, the texts weren't working, but they are now. Texts are working now, it seems. John, is the mystery object Mickey Dolenz of the Monkees? Now, that'd be a mystery person, wouldn't it? That's from John in Paddington. John, is it Clive Bull's severed leg? That's from Steve. No, but that is available on eBay if you do want to put a bid in for Clive Bull's severed leg. John, is it an action figure of the slightly Hitlerish bloke from the pop group Sparks? Not the ordinary action figure, though, but the one with eagle eyes. That's from Sean. And Sean, no, I'm afraid it isn't, but you were close. If you do want the six tickets, though, we do have six to give away now, 84850. Or, of course, call us. Not for the mystery object thing, just call us. We were talking about the most embarrassing place you've vomited or gone to the toilet. We've had one in a swimming pool. Who was that? I can't remember. Someone had done it in a swimming pool. Somebody had done it, well, we just had someone do it over a load of workmates, someone else's workmates' clothes, coats under stairs in a restaurant, and I did it up a McDonald's window. And someone did it on a fairground, one of those fairground rides, and it went, came back and hit his girlfriend in the face. Anyway, someone's on the phone. Hello. Hello.
Hi.
Who are you?
This is Cortina in the Vauxhall.
Hello, how are you?
Yes, I'm going to guess the mystery object.
Oh, well, technically it's an email and thing, but you can. Go on, why don't you?
Okay, is it Elton John and David Furnish's disposed post-coital towelette?
Is it Elton John and David Furnish's post-coital towelette?
Yes.
You're saying?
Could it?
Now.
How close am I?
Well, you're quite close, but sadly not exactly right. What made you think that? What was it, just the sound of it, or
because I was channeling early this afternoon, and this is the kind of sensation I got on the back of my neck.
Yeah, it's in the back of your neck.
Slap on the back of my neck.
Yeah, you got a wet, right?
Yes, and you know, because you were talking about origins of the word queer and how
I was earlier on. Yeah,
yeah, and all that kind of converged into a big, massive channel that I just. I felt like a conduit to.
Was it such a channel that David Walliams swam it?
Oh, not as big as that.
No.
How did he manage that, by the way?
I don't know. It's impressive, isn't it?
Oh, I can't. You can never.
Because of the. I mean, I know they get. Don't you cover yourself in goose fat or something similar?
Yeah, I mean, how did he cover himself in goose fat without Matt Lucas licking it all?
Oh, that's just an unpleasant image.
and
possibly libel, but that's fine. But do you think, does it have to be goose fat? Can you do it with I Can't Believe It's Not Butter, do you think?
Oh,
Could you swim the channel covered in I Can't Believe It's Not Butter?
I think that would burn through your skin.
Yeah, it might.
Sure. Or you might be permanently dyed yellow.
Yeah, what are you saying about the product? No, don't say anything about the product. I'm sure it's a very good product. Other products are available.
Let's talk about something more
Well, I'm interested
pleasant.
In the, would you swim the channel? Can you swim?
I can float.
You can float.
If you can float, you could survive.
In the air.
Not quite. No, I need to learn yoga for that.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Listen, I've got to go to break.
Yes, but how close was I anyway?
You were eight close.
Eight close.
Yeah. So sorry about that.
Oh. Thank you very much.
Oh, okay. Keep trying. Thanks.
Bye.
Okay. Bye.
If you.
I am him. John, is the mystery sound? There isn't a mystery sound. Is the mystery sound some dried rice being shaken inside a tin can? It's not a mystery sound, it's a mystery object. Alex. Telephone. Is it a telephone directory, Peter in Sevenoaks? These are people who've texted us on 84850 or emailed on homes@lbc.co.uk with answers to the mystery object competition. We have six tickets and a bonus to give away. And it must be won today. It must go before 6 o'clock. Must go. But none of these are right. Some people have been very close, but none of these are right yet. John, is the mystery object your helmet? I'm assuming you're a biker. That's from Nick in a car. No, no, it's not. John, is it Nick Ferrari's posing pouch? No. Oh, no, the vomity one. John, I've thrown up on a train, tube and a bus, all of which at the time were busy and between stops. Good, well done. Yeah, of course, we do want your embarrassing where you vomited or cried stories. Have you done it in front of people? Was it terribly, terribly embarrassing? And did it cost you a lot in dry cleaning bills? You can call us after the news. 0870 9090 973. Good afternoon. I'm John Holmes, in for Ian Lee. It's just about 5 o'clock. So, of course, as you heard in the news there, it would seem to be... There was a streaker yesterday, obviously, at Wimbledon, and they were talking there about how free it can feel with no clothes on. Have you ever been naked in public? I haven't at all. It's just not something to do. But I do agree with people who've... Because someone did say this to me once, that it was... If you do housework naked, then it's, you know, it's quite... How do they put this? Not arousing, that wasn't the word. It's quite... Just freeing. It's quite... You feel quite free about the whole thing. And so I tried hoovering naked once. 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 And it just felt a bit dusty and weird. And... I did once iron while not wearing any trousers, because they were the trousers I was ironing, and I did burn myself. And I know that sounds like it's probably out of a sitcom, but I actually did do that because of the height of the board. I don't advise it. Tim, hello.
Hello there, John.
How are you today?
I'm very well, sir. And you?
Yeah, slightly peculiar today.
Yeah, you know, I think we all are. At
it's
the moment.
I can't quite. I don't know what it is. Is it the weather? Do you think
it's
it is?
The weather.
Because
yes,
the show weather. Feels a bit peculiar today.
Oh, does it? Well,
yeah, and I feel a bit peculiar. And I think it is the weather. I can't get the temperature right in here.
Well, I try and make you feel better.
Please do.
Vomit. Nothing personal.
No.
Right, vomit.
Yes.
I heard this on the radio some years ago, and it may have been LBC.
I've never heard of that.
Oh, right. Well, it was a chappie on an American airline in America.
Yes.
The plane took off, and when it reached the required height or whatever they do and levelled out...
Yeah.
He was violently sick and made a terrible noise, being, you know, vomiting... Into, do you remember those brown sick bags they have on planes? Or
you don't get them anymore, do you?
Hmm?
You don't get them anymore, not brown ones.
No, you don't now, but in those days, there was a brown bag there. Well, he was vomiting like mad and making a terrible noise.
Yeah.
With people watching him. And when he'd finished, you know, whatever they call it, gurgitating and Lord knows what else, he took a spoon out of his pocket and started eating it.
What?
Yeah.
That's...
And people around him were in a terrible state.
That's horrible!
Recorded what they did. But the end of the story is that he was a well-known practical joker in America. I think he was an eccentric millionaire. And he'd just gone on board with a bag of potato salad and pretended to be violently sick.
Oh, I see.
And I believe one or two people were rather ill. And I think he got fined rather heavily by the airlines for disrupting the passage.
They do frown on that kind of thing.
They do. Yes,
if they don't do sick bags, I don't know. Someone will probably call and tell me, actually, the usual, 08709.
Yeah.
But you instead of sick bags, if you can't find them, they don't do them anymore. You know, they just have those on the back of seats in airplanes where
that's
magazines
right,
go.
Yes.
Might just be sick in there.
That's right. Oh,
why not?
Lord, yeah. Anyway, it didn't describe what the poor passengers did, but I imagine some of them were rather ill.
I'd have been ill. I actually can't, for all this talk of it today, I can't deal with it at all. If someone's being sick, I gag if I see someone being sick.
That's right.
I don't like it at all.
Yeah. The other point was the paraffin man with the paraffin machine. I remember those.
Do you? So
I can remember going along with fivepence to get a gallon of... paraffin from them as a kid.
So this is going back to a call earlier, and it was someone, it said there were paraffin filler-uppers.
Dispenser machines.
Dispenser, by the side of the road.
That's right.
And you put money in to get some paraffin in.
I think you put in fivepence to get a gallon of paraffin. right?
That's...
I remember being sent there as a kid, and also, as a small boy, I'm going back now to the late 20s, early 30s.
Yeah.
I used to be sent round to the dairy when it was closed, and there was a brass plaque on the door with a spout and a lever, and you put tuppence in, put your jug under the spout, pulled the lever, and you got a pint of milk. And it was called the brass cow.
Right. Well, you didn't want to get those machines confused.
Well, no, but I think when the milk board started in the early 30s, they banned them because kids used to go along and lick the end of the spouts afterwards because it was in the days of depression.
Now, I'll tell you what, nowadays they do that, but from the paraffin dispenser. That's what the kids would do now, Tim.
You're probably right.
Yeah. Why did they take the paraffin things away?
Well, probably health and safety.
Probably health. It can't be that.
In those days.
Yeah, because kids now, they'd just light them, wouldn't they?
Of course they would, yeah.
And you probably wouldn't be able to use your mobile phone near them either.
You know.
Do you know that rule about not being able to use your mobile phone on a petrol forecourt?
I know, that's ridiculous.
What's it going to do?
Well, I think, I don't know. You don't get sparks, do you?
No. Utter rubbish.
Phone.
Utter rubbish. And I'll tell you how I know that's rubbish. Because I know for a fact that on several petrol forecourts, the petrol companies sell space. You know the big signs they have at the front, the really tall ones with all the prices on? They are disguised mobile phone antennas. Some of those.
Are they really?
Yeah, they're paid by the...
That's probably why, then.
So you'd think...
Selling somebody's call.
Yeah, so that's what it is. And it's nothing to do with blowing. I don't think, I can't see that. Has that ever happened? Is it? Perhaps again, someone might know. 0870909903.
Yeah, fair enough.
What's the rule? Why can't you have a mobile phone?
Exactly.
Same on a plane. Why can't you have a mobile phone on a plane?
Oh, well, I think you'd upset all sorts of things.
Well, they say that, but I don't know that it's true, because they're talking about bringing, I only read this the other day, they're talking about bringing in legislation that says you will be allowed to use a mobile phone on a plane. Now, whether it's because they're going to shield it somehow, I don't know. But I read that the other day, and I think British Airways have said that, yeah, possibly, you're going to be able to use your mobile and play. So I don't know, I don't know how true. And also, when you watch things like 24, do you watch 24, Tim?
Yeah.
Right?
I can't see it because I'm visually impaired, but I listen to it.
Listen to that? Must be confusing.
It is.
Good Lord. I don't know what's going on. I'm looking at it. How confused? Where are you up to?
Mm.
Where are you up to on 24? Are you up to the current series? Because it's just finished, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Now, I haven't seen the end one yet, so don't tell me what happened.
No. Well, I won't.
No. But,
it's not bad.
Good.
Know?
Looking forward to it. I've got it on Sky Plus.
It's a bit thin now, though.
Yeah, I know what you mean, the premise. No. But that's amazing that you sort of visually impaired, but yet you still go along with 24.
Well,
it must be confused.
It's a bit of an imagination, when you can't see.
Well, they do say, don't they, the best pictures on the radio.
That's true.
They do say.
True, yeah.
Trust me, if you could see the devastation in this studio, it's best, no one does, to be honest.
Well,
keep it in your imagination.
By the sound of it, there is.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I mean, listen to this. Listen to this, Tim. Right?
Yeah.
This, right? This. That's a bin full of people's lunch, coffee, old fruit, a tea bag that I've just had to take out of my cup because Johnny left it in. Thanks, Johnny, and now it's all stewed, and I didn't know he left it in. There's just some string coming out the side. So that's the sort of mess. Okay, I've made the mess worse, but,
Tim,
it's a disgrace.
Well, that,
for a professional radio station.
Almost a millimetre away from hygienic, isn't it?
Yes. And there might as well be a paraffin dispenser in here. I'm going to bring Rebecca in, Tim, so hang on, say that as well. But hi, Rebecca.
Okay. Hiya there.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Okay, I've only got 30 seconds, but I do want to talk to you, but I just wanted to say hello before we have to go to a little break.
That's okay.
So if you don't mind holding on,
that'd be lovely,
because frankly, I think you're going to talk about being nudie, aren't you?
I am, yes.
Are you nudie now?
I did it once this year, and it's actually quite interesting.
Okay, right, hold that thought, because we're going to talk about that. Are we going to head, is it headlines?
I mean nuddy,
Tim. Hold that thought, you dirty man. Okay, here it comes. Yes, I am him. 0870909093 is the number. 84850 is the text, or homes@lbc.co.uk. If you want to guess the mystery object, you've got to get it before 6 o'clock. We have tickets, 6 tickets, and a bonus to give away, along with lovely Joanne's drawing of herself driving a car that she has signed. John, is the mystery object what? It's a pen that the... No, I don't understand. Is it a small rabid elephant? No, it's not. John, is the object a North Korean missile skipping on the English Channel? In a sort of strange cross, I'm guessing that is, between Little Britain's David Walliams and North Korean nuclear weapons. That sounds like an unholy marriage. John, is it a weeping woman naked playing the harp? No, it's not, no. But speaking of which, back with Rebecca in Bracknell. Hello, Rebecca.
Hello there.
Sorry to keep you.
That's okay.
But thank you for holding. Now, tell us, you were about to tell us how you have been nudie in public.
Yeah, I've never ever done it before.
Yep.
And went to Gran Canaria this year for holiday. And they've got quite a famous beach there that is for naturists and everything.
Right.
My boyfriend I went with has done it before. He's, so I was a bit dubious.
He's done it before?
He had.
Has
I
he?
Have never.
I
and
see.
I was a bit dubious. So yep. Most women are okay going topless, not a problem and everything.
Yeah.
So I was okay topless.
But see, the rules are different. When it comes to getting, you know, your mimsy out, the rules are slightly different, aren't they?
Yeah, I don't know. It took me about 10 minutes to work up the courage. And
yep.
Then once you are, it's a bit weird. But then, because everyone else is, you kind of, I know you don't take any notice of it. And actually swimming in the sea and sunbathing and everything, it's,
yeah.
I don't know, it's quite, I don't know, it's really nice.
Do you have to put suntan cream where you wouldn't necessarily normally put it?
I suppose you would, yes. Especially the men, I would say. As
yeah,
well.
That's, yeah. Ooh, ah, that's
going to be a bit sore if that got burnt, I suppose.
Well, yes, it would. I did it once with an iron, as I think I mentioned. And that really...
That isn't very good.
No, and I was ironing trousers, you know, that I was going to put on, but
yeah.
the height of the board, because I hadn't really planned it very well, was the same height as, you know, and
right.
The edge... Ooh, you don't want to do that.
That'd be a bit sore.
It was. So you did. So I'm interested. Your boyfriend's done this before, but you haven't. So what? So he just talked you into it.
Yeah, he just said you fancy going down. It took me a few days.
Hello,
to go
no,
down
what?
There.
Back? Said what?
It took me a little while to sort of get used to the idea of like going down this particular beach.
Beach. Sorry, I thought you meant something else. You would probably get arrested for that.
No, because you go past this particular beach quite often, and I thought, maybe I'll give it a little go.
Yeah.
And once you've done it, like that bloke said on the advert, you kind of forget about it. It's just like the norm.
I don't know,
I can't describe it. Until you've actually tried it, never, never knock it. That's what I say.
Well, so they do say that. Who was it who famously said, you should try everything once, apart from incest and Morris dancing?
That's very true.
Somebody said that once.
Yeah, one quick thing as well about your previous call about the being sick thing made me sort of think of something.
Yes.
I was on a flight to Florida quite a few years ago.
Yeah.
And we're coming into land and this woman's son was being sick.
Yeah.
And I think she was a bit worried because she didn't have any water with her, like a bottle of water or anything.
Right.
So me being kind, I gave her a bottle of water.
Very
that's
good
not
of you.
A problem. And he had a drink and everything. And then she handed a half-drunk bottle of water back to me.
With all sick round it.
Yeah, so I said it's quite okay.
You know, you can actually keep that with the sicky stuff. Just going back to the, you know, not that I'm fascinated, but the naturism on the beach thing. Incidentally, by the way, Gran Canaria was where I was sick up a McDonald's window. That I don't know whether you heard me say earlier. That's just a weird coincidence. But I didn't go on the nudie beach. Now, if you don't mind me asking, Rebecca, you know, you don't have to tell us, of course, but in what age bracket are you?
I'm 32.
You're 32.
Yeah.
Right, so are the other people on the beach, were they younger, the same, or older in the nudie?
It is every single age.
Really?
Right from, like, 20-year-olds right up to, blooming, I don't know, 80, 90s.
Ugh.
Yes, and some interesting...
Did you, go on, be honest, did you sneak a look at the... come on, be honest.
You get the occasional...
They've got a
bar there where you can go up like a cafeteria and you can go up and like buy your burgers and food and whatever.
Yeah.
And there's one guy there, you can't help notice, he had everything pierced.
Did he?
Everything.
Did you...
Yeah.
Were your eyes drawn to the glinting of the Gran Canaria sun off the metal?
Well, yes, you're always dazzled by it all because the sun was on it and it's a bit... Yeah.
Is it a bit embarrassing when you get caught staring at people?
Well, the trick is not to get caught staring at people because you
sunglasses.
Wear sunglasses.
Of course.
Yes.
Never
or you wear a hat, so you have your hat
must,
above your eyes.
You must. You know, I'm just thinking. If I was in a room full of naked people, you know, or on a beach, you know, and there's nudie ladies and so on, I'm going to sneak a look. If I'm honest with you, I'm going to sneak a look.
But you sneak a look at anybody wearing their clothes or not clothes, really, and everyone's the same under their clothes. That's the way I look at it.
They're not. Believe no, they're not.
What?
Oh no,
they've got the same things, but not quite the right.
Well, some have. You should see some of the people. No, fascinating, Rebecca. Thank you very much for your call.
Would you do it?
I'm going to think about that. over this break. Homes. Text here, this is from Liam, who's written, it's liberating to be naked like a newborn chick. And then he's written, groovy it is, like Yoda would say. Groovy it is, except in a Yoda voice. Tony, I can't talk to you long now because we've got to go to news, but I'm going to come back and absolutely talk to you after that, and I just wanted to say hello now.
Well, hello.
Hello to you, sir.
And I'll wait for your call.
Yeah, well, you hang there.
I'll hang.
You hang, not literally. As you heard in the news there, the match is over at Wimbledon, but we can go over there for the closing moments, live coverage of the closing moments about half an hour ago with your one-year-old child commentating. And there it was. Roger Federer went through, thanks to one-year-old William Hurst there for his insightful analysis. Tony, I was talking to Tony just before all of that. Thank you for hanging. I hope you're still alive.
Yes. I'm fine, thank you.
Where are you? Because it said you were calling from Tower Bridge.
Yeah, I'm now in Crystal Palace.
Oh, okay. Right, because you were going to talk about Fathers for Justice, I think.
Yeah,
I was just wondering whether you were up Tower Bridge in a Batman costume.
No.
Okay.
It's just that I'm privy to a lot of information because of my status as chauffeur to the stars.
Right.
We do a lot of work for news media companies, and I had occasion earlier to discuss with two of the execs of one of the large media companies how, in fact, these Fathers for Justice got into Wimbledon.
Right. Okay. Go on then. So let's recap for you. This was today, was it? This was the tennis playing.
Today, yes,
yeah, with the t-shirts.
News.
With the t-shirts.
Every 15
yeah.
bleeding minutes.
Yeah. I know. I listen to the news, Tony.
Every 15
I don't,
minutes.
I don't. Yeah. But that's right. So they broke in. They got t-shirts on that say "Father's It's a Racket."
Yes.
And they're holding tennis rackets.
Yes.
That's just in case anyone's missed the news every 15 bleeding minutes, as you quite eloquently put it. But, yeah, go on. Carry on.
Well, the two execs were racking their brains as to what they were going to splash across the front pages of the newspapers tomorrow. And as I'm known for my in-depth, methodical thinking process, asked me for my opinion.
Right. I'd never do that, but go on.
Well, I know how they got in.
How did they get in?
It's gonna rock the world.
Come on.
They paid.
Controversial.
They paid to get in. But let me tell you this, Jonathan.
Yes.
All right.
Tony.
Matthews.
Thanks.
Yeah. You would be more likely.
Yes.
To be turned away from Wimbledon.
Yes.
By the chappy who's on £40 a day, if you were brandishing a sandwich from Marks and Spencer's and wielding a McDonald's ice coke,
right,
you would be turned away.
Because you have to buy all your refreshments in the grounds.
But you cannot be turned away if you're brandishing, carrying, or just even holding a tennis racket.
No, this was my point earlier. Because a tennis racket at Wimbledon is hardly something they're going to think is unusual, is it?
Well, no. But a sandwich from an outside source.
What source? Ketchup?
Well, from another supplier.
Heinz.
Can be deemed as
a deadly weapon.
Brandishing.
A deadly weapon.
Well, you're brandishing. And you'll be turned away. So what we've come up with.
What if you bought strawberries? You could throw strawberries at the players. And they sell strawberries. They're like little North Korean fruity missiles.
No, well that would be assault, and you'd be punished.
No, there's no salt on them. They're just they're cream, I think.
Yeah,
have you ever tried?
Anyway, John, listen quickly.
Sorry, Tony Matthews, go on.
Listen quickly.
Go on.
the other thing is, and this is quite a serious point, and there might be one person out there in radio world that'll appreciate this. You know, recently there was a young man that knocked over a couple of young girls, and one of them died, and he got 100 hours community service.
Yes, I did read that. Yeah.
Right. Well, I actually spoke to a police serving officer who's quite high.
Yeah.
And he said to me that the reason that the sentences for these sort of acts are usually low,
yeah,
relative to, say, robbing a post office,
yeah,
right, for money, or stealing a computer from
stamps.
Woolworths,
yeah,
is because they're tried under the Road Traffic Act. And the maximum sentence under the Road Traffic Act is 2 years.
Right.
Because it's not actually an offence to have killed somebody in a car.
Of course it's an offence, isn't it?
No.
It must be.
The after act is an offence because it's deemed as manslaughter. But there isn't any criminal records of somebody being tried and successfully sued for murder in a vehicle. So the actions that take place in a car are covered under the Road Traffic Act, which is why the result is so low.
Yeah.
If you steal a computer,
yeah,
from a company, it's covered under the criminal law.
All right. What if
criminal law has much higher maximums.
What if you steal a computer,
yeah,
in a drive-by theft? So you said from Woolworths, I'd still, yeah, pick a mix from Woolworths if it was me, not a computer. But say you were to drive into Woolworths' front doors, right, in your car.
Yeah, right.
Well, yeah, sort of, but more a drive-by nicking of pick and mix sweets.
Yeah.
Right? And then, surely you could only be prosecuted for a driving offence.
No.
In your logic.
No, because, no, Jonathan, no, that's your logic.
My logic is correct, offense, logic, Tony Matthews.
The actual offence is when you place your physical hand on a material object and deny the owner access to it.
All right, but what if I did it with wearing a driving glove? Then, by your own argument,
yeah,
it's to do with a road track. It's a driving glove, so my actual hand isn't touching the pick and mix. I scoop it up.
Look, very simply this, right? If I removed the bumper off of my Bentley,
yeah,
right, and whacked you across the head with it,
yeah,
right, that is a criminal act,
I'll say.
But if I leave the bumper attached to the car
and hit me on the head with it,
over,
yeah, it's
that
not
is a road trafficked.
I see what you're saying. Well, that's right. it's an interesting loophole, Tony.
Sorry?
It's an interesting loophole then, isn't it?
Absolutely. So we should all go out and buy Bentleys. But Fathers for Justice got into Wimbledon through the high security...
By paying for tickets.
Because they paid.
Yes. I think you're right.
And you can't brandish...
No.
Cricket...
You like the word brandish, don't you?
Well, that's what the newsreader was saying to try to instill some sort of terrorist action into it. And having listened to executives for most of my working life,
yeah,
it's about as interesting as listening to your little one-year-old reporter. If he's going to use the word brandish,
yeah,
right, then he might as well just say terrorist, alleged.
Yeah, well, it's news language, isn't it?
Well, if you have any vacancies down there, I'd love to come in and do the job properly. Because I'd be turned away for brandishing a sandwich.
No, because all you'd come on here and you'd go. Ah, so it's just coming up 4:45. Here's the headlines with Tony Matthews, and you'd come on and you'd just go. Well, the thing is about your tennis racket. Right, the thing is about it, and if you drive into a tennis racket in your, yeah, bleeding car,
yeah,
right, then quite frankly, that's a sporting offence. Nothing else, they can't touch you for it. That's the news, I'll be back later.
That's right. And don't go away, because I'll only be gone for 15 minutes. In fact, the newsreader gets more airtime than you do.
I know!
Well,
believe me, words are going to be had, Tony, about that. Tony, go away now.
Please. All right, John.
It was a pleasure talking to you, though. That's where a pleasure is something that's not a pleasure. Bert, hello.
Hiya.
Hello, I'm sorry about the ranting man there.
No, that was quite entertaining.
It was quite entertaining, wasn't it?
I don't think that was Tony. I think it was Bob Hoskins.
I think it was Bob Holness.
Oh, no, I think it was Bob Hoskins.
Okay.
Anyway.
Go on, what can we do for you, Bert? Oh, hang on. But I must tell you, again, I've done this again. I keep doing this because I'm so unprofessional. I'm running out of... There's some break coming up. And obviously, before I get into talking to you, which I'm very keen to do...
Okay, well, we'll have a break first.
We'll have a break first, but you wait there.
Okay.
You're lovely.
Oh, dear.
Well, not much. But a bit. Okay, so are we going... Is it break now? Is it that now? Okay, here we go. Just some breaking news coming in. We're getting reports that Posh has resigned. The wife of David Beckham has stepped down after her performance in Germany, saying she was proud to have gone clothes shopping and had her breasts enlarged over the years, but now it was time for someone else to have a chance. Already the search is on for another vacuous thin woman to take over this crucial role, with one expected to be appointed by Heat magazine within minutes. A tearful Posh said she discussed her resignation with the rest of the wags in a changing room at Gucci in Baden-Baden, and although she stepped down from her main role, she was hoping to carry on shopping for at least another season. There'll be more on Posh's resignation in the main news with Helena at 6. Meanwhile, on the phone, hello, Bert.
Hiya.
Thank you for holding.
That's all right.
Mm-hmm.
I actually heard the muffin thing. That was very funny.
I wish I had, but I'm going to have to try and track it down now.
I'm sure you can.
Yeah. Have you got it on a podcast?
No, I haven't, no, but I heard it several times. I heard it live.
Several times.
I heard it on the best of. Anyway.
Yeah.
I was going to say about these aeroplane and mobile phone things.
Yes, because I was saying earlier, in case someone had literally only just tuned in, that there's a rule, isn't there? You can't use a mobile phone on the plane, and you can't use it on petrol forecourts, and yeah, I was wondering why.
It's not as dangerous.
Okay.
As such. I mean, it's not going to cause a spark. It's not going to do anything like that. I work with aeroplanes.
Right.
What it is, it can affect the readout on the amount of fuel that's gone in to a plane or a car.
Right. Oh, okay.
And obviously aeroplanes, it's a little bit more dangerous because if it says that you've only got, you know, so many gallons in,
yeah,
and it should have been a lot more,
yeah,
it could crash. With cars, obviously they're going to lose money at the petrol stations, but it can actually affect the actual readout of the amount that goes in. That's why they do it.
Well, how does it do that?
I don't honestly know. I'm not that technical, but
So if you use your phone around, basically, if you use your phone around fuel of any kind.
No, not fuel.
But it's the mechanism that it's delivered, the measuring equipment in the vehicle.
Yeah, that's what it is.
And it affects that, but only that. I mean, nothing else it affects.
No, it can affect that, but nothing else.
That's a bit weird, isn't it?
Well, I don't know because I don't understand how it all works, but I've been told that by the captains on the plane and the actual people that put the fuel into planes, and they said yes, it does actually affect the apparatus that puts the fuel into the plane.
So the apparatus that puts the fuel. I'm filling up my car, say, yeah, or indeed my plane. Obviously, I do have regular use of the LBC Learjet. You're allowed to do that to perk thing. But say I'm filling that up at a garage. You know, and I've got the pump and the thing, and my mobile goes. Now, obviously, you know, you think that, you go, oh, I can't answer my mobile because somehow a spark might jump down the petrol tank. But it's just... So I'm filling up the car, and the measuring system in the car or the pump, do you think?
The pump.
In the pump. It's telling me I put, I don't know, 20 quid in.
Yeah.
Or, and however many litres, you know, what does that get you these days? A centilitre. Uh-huh. and so... It's telling me that I've put 20 quid in, but I haven't.
That's the way it works, yeah.
I can't see how that could possibly
I
do
don't,
that.
Because, again, you know, you've got to be a scientist to work these things out. But, I've had this from captains on planes and the people that fuel the planes, and they've told me the same thing.
That's you said you work with planes. What do you do?
Well, let's say sort of security.
Oh, okay. Are you an air marshal? You're an air marshal. Or are you one of those people who fly on the wing of biplanes in a bikini?
Yeah. What are they called? Sky
people.
Oh, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, good. But interesting. That's what they've told me, and they were sincere about it, so I believe them.
Well, until I hear any different, Bert, I'm believing you.
Also.
Oh, hang on. We've got to go to an ad. Sorry, Bert, I had to do that contractually.
No, that's fine. Quickly,
yes, go on.
If you go back to that William Hurst tennis tape, you know the...
Our commentator.
Yeah.
Yep.
Did you notice, just before the last, well, I don't know, 3 or 4 seconds...
Yes.
He says, out.
Yes.
Oh, you did notice that?
I did notice that, yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah, the ball was out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he said it before it actually happened.
He said that was the umpire you could hear in the background.
No. The William Hurst says out. If you listen to it, he actually says
does
out
it?
Before it happened.
Let's have another listen.
Okay, I'll put the phone down and I'll put the radio back on.
Okay, let's have a listen.
Okay. Cheers.
That was a bit. Yeah, that's. Thanks, William. Good. You're not wrong. Hello, Bert. Did he go? Did Bert actually put the phone down? Bert's gone. Bye. He was right. It sounds to me then that the good William's first word is the word out that he's picked up while he's down there at the tennis. There you go. It's a good job he wasn't covering for us live at LBC the football match, the last England football match. Cause otherwise, his first word might have been stamped testicle. And that's wrong for a child to say. We can't get Bert back, I don't think, which is a shame because I was enjoying talking to him. Part air marshal, part bikini dancer on the wing of a biplane at a display. How long have we got before the thing, Johnny? Oh, 40 seconds. Well, I'm not going to go to... Oh, Bert, is that you again? What? That's Bert demonstrating why you really shouldn't use mobile phones anywhere near radio stations.
I'm still here.
Hey, there you are. You were right about the word out.
I was, wasn't I?
You're absolutely correct. That's his first word.
Yeah, and he definitely said out, didn't he?
He did. He absolutely did. I hadn't noticed. I'm glad you were paying attention, Bert. Yeah, it was. Thanks for calling for that stuff, Robert.
Yeah, hiya there.
Hello there. I've just got 10 seconds because we have to go to the news, but I will talk to you after that.
Okay.
And I also believe we're opening the phone lines. We're opening the phone lines, and you'll be coming straight through to the desk with no Helen vetting whatsoever. This is LBC 97.3.
On FM.
On DAB.
And online.
No idea what that bit of weird music does there. That's too strange. 08709090973 is the number. If you call now, it's half an hour, essentially, till 6:30 of... We'll just apparently we can put your call straight to air without even vetting your level of mentalness. So 08709090973. But while you're doing that, I am going to talk to Robert because I've kept him hanging on. Hello, Robert. Mobile phones, I believe.
Hey, John, all right?
Yeah, fine, thank you. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was just saying that about you know, the mobile phones with the petrol stations and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, about, you know, well, I don't know if you're on Discovery Channel, there's a program called Mythbusters, and basically what they did was they actually tested that myth to see if they could actually get a spark, you know, basically blow up themselves or, you know, set themselves on fire, basically.
Yeah.
And they couldn't actually do it with a mobile phone. So what the conclusion, how they come up, well, what they found was, is that basically it was intended more in women who, in America... When they fill up their petrol lot, you know, when they fill up the tank, they leave the nozzle going, don't they? So, and then they go back to the car and they create a static charge in them. So when they touch the pump, that's when they get the electric spark, which sets them light.
So it's only to do with the phone if it gets static from the phone, not the phone itself.
I'm on the M25 and it's static and you just all cracked out. I couldn't hear you.
No, you're cracking up a bit now. But okay, well, I think he might have gone there. But however, interesting. You know, is it true? We don't know. But, you know, that's, you know, we're not, I don't know. Richard Hammond would know. He knows all about science. Anyway, no one's got the mystery object yet. And I was going to go that way. Prize as well. We'll see if someone gets it in the next half hour. Hello, who's on the, yes, hello, line 90. Hello.
Hi, this is Nick.
Hello, Nick.
I just wanted to pick up on the previous caller about the aircraft and the, filling up petrol and not putting enough gallons of petrol in the plane.
Yes.
I'm no expert, but I'm fairly sure that planes are not allowed to be fuelled while there's any passengers on board. I think it's like an FAA regulation, which is why if you're on a long-haul flight, you always have to get off the plane and they refuel it. So I'm not sure that's the... Not sure that's the answer. I think we've got more investigations to do on that one.
I think... Well, do you know what? We can carry this on tomorrow as well. You know, the number, by the way, 08709090973. And, you know, mobile phones and planes and forecourts. We'll carry that on tomorrow. Thanks, thanks for Nick. We will do that. And see if we can string it out any longer than is absolutely necessary. Hello, who's this? Hello.
Hi, John.
Hello.
I was wondering if I could have my cock pump back.
That's very funny. But no, I'm still using it. Next caller.
Is Joanne Webb pretty?
Is what?
Joanne Webb, is she pretty?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, all right, when's Ian back?
I think he's back in... he said he was going away for a year.
What?
Yeah, I think he's gone backpacking.
No, seriously, when is he back?
No, seriously, a year.
What?
Yeah, a year. He's got a year off. It's like a... You know, it's an exchange scheme. He's gone abroad.
We went to Alicante.
No. He can't even spell that. Let alone go... Know where it is to go there.
So does that mean you're taking over?
Yeah, that's it. It's an exchange programme.
Permanently?
Yeah. Well, for a year.
I don't know whether to laugh or cry.
Oh. So would that be a bad thing for you?
Well, you've done an okay job.
Oh, just okay.
Ian Lee is Ian Lee.
Well, I mean, I know Ian Lee is Ian Lee. I wouldn't presume... that I would be Ian Lee. I mean, I'm just sitting in his chair when he's not here. Okay, I think that was Ian's mum. Next call. Hello. Right, that was obviously some sort of, I don't know what that was. Next call. Yeah, hello.
Hello.
Hello. Who?
Bert again.
What?
Bert.
Yeah, oh, hello.
Hello. That chap that just said about... fueling while passengers are boarding or on board?
Yes.
They do. Honestly, I mean, I'm here now well, I can't really tell you which airport I'm at.
But you're at an airport now?
I'm at an airport now.
Yeah.
And I deal with them every day.
Yeah.
And believe me, they do fuel while they're loading, while they're boarding.
While they've got passengers on?
Yeah.
Do they, so they are allowed to do that then?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's not, there's no rule about doing that. Because there's such a quick turnaround now, and it's all, you know, obviously money-based.
Yeah.
They have to get people in and out as quick as they can. And they are loading fuel while they're boarding passengers.
Yeah.
And I'm actually looking at... Well, actually, I'm not looking at some now. I'm lying.
You're looking at some fuel?
No, I was trying to find some now. I was just having a look on the camera, but there's nobody here at the moment.
Oh.
But they do it, honestly.
Right. Well, there you go. See, and you're the man in the know. You're on the spot right now. Yeah. Yeah, hello. Next, yes. Line four. Yeah, hello. Hello. If you speak now, we'll hear you.
Hello?
Oh!
Oh, hello!
What?
I just wanted to tell you, as opposing to the other person that was talking to you, you're doing much more than an okay job.
Oh, thanks.
It's superb, and you've made me laugh. I'm looking forward to tomorrow as well.
Well, you're very kind.
That's right, not at all. I look forward to listening to you tomorrow.
Please do, 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock till 6:30 tomorrow. Next, hello, Battersea Dogs Home.
Yeah, hi.
Hello.
Yeah. I don't know quite what to say to Battersea Dogs Home.
Well, we take puppies.
Do you?
Yes.
I'm partial to a puppy myself.
Are you?
Yeah, or two. Quick question.
Yep.
Where's Ian?
He's gone backpacking around the world for a year.
No, really, where is he?
No, really.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice. Mm. So, yeah, good show, mate. Good show.
Oh, how very kind of you. Where are you calling from?
I'm actually calling from the traffic, but I live in Acton town, so,
So, to be honest, anything would cheer you up, wouldn't it, really? So, you know.
Yeah, very good, mate.
Yeah, thanks very much. next caller, hello.
Hello.
Hello?
Hello? What are you?
Hello? Hello?
What? What?
That stuff about the planes.
Yeah.
Sorry, I've really got to clear out because it's really frustrating. The reason why people aren't allowed to use their mobile phones on planes is because it interferes with the radio equipment and the other stuff on the planes that transmit radio waves.
Got you. Because they're going on the same frequency as a mobile phone. Is that what you're saying?
Not the same, a similar frequency.
Similar frequency. Do you work in the airline industry, sir?
I learned all this when I was in the Royal Navy, travelling the world.
Radio. So what's it got to do with petrol forecourts, then?
It has nothing. The other chap that was on clarified that point. It's to do with the static charge. That's what a petrol company's worried about.
Got you.
Nothing to do with a reading of the petrol going into the car.
Solved it. Thanks for that. Must take a break. Here. And apart from those vouchers, you also get to keep James O'Brien, which is, I think, we can all agree, a bit of a bargain. 0870 90 90 973 is the number. You will get straight to air. We'll just sort of put you on and against my better judgment. Hello, who's that?
Hello, where's Ian?
He's backpacking. Next caller, please. Yeah, hello. Hi there. Hello. Gone or there? Hello. Straight through. Hello.
Hello, this is Lynn. I want to say hello to all my fans.
You haven't got any fans. Go away. Next. Hello. Hello, line.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 25.
Line 80. Hello? Hello, line 80. Hello?
What are you talking about? I've loads of fans.
Line 80. Hello?
Next, please. Hello? Yes? You're literally on the air. Hello?
80. Hello?
I love you. I love you.
Well, I love you more. But not in that way. That'd be weird. Next caller. Hello. Yes.
Yeah, hi.
Are you normal or mental?
I don't know.
Then go away. Next caller, please. Hello.
Hi.
What?
You just made my day.
Did I?
Yeah, telling me that Ian Lee's going to be away for a year.
Yeah.
Fantastic news. Thanks very much.
That's all right. Are you related to him?
No.
No?
But I drive home every night listening to his programme, and I'm always appalled at how awful it is.
Yet you stay listening.
I do, because I like LBC.
That's very loyal of you, sir.
But I enjoy your programme this week.
Oh, well, thank you very much. It hasn't been me all week, so that technically means you like Nick Abbott. Next caller, please. Hello?
Hello. Mobile phones in petrol stations.
Yes.
It's because they hide the reception mask in the price list.
That's what I said.
That's exactly right.
That's what I said earlier.
I didn't hear the whole show. Great show, by the way.
Thanks very much for saying. You're right. Yeah, they do, don't they? They hide the masts in the big price signs.
They do. Also in things like church steeples and all sorts of
That's right, that we don't know about. You're absolutely right. And now, you know, there's all this controversy about them putting them near schools.
Yes.
They're starting to hide them in children. They're starting to hide mobile phone masts in children now. Can you believe it? Isn't that shocking news?
That really is.
They are. They're trying to hide them in children. Absolutely true.
Wherever next?
I know. It's just terrible. It's terrible. Thanks for that. Next caller, please. Hello. Git. Next caller, please.
I'm enjoying a delicious bowl of hairy snowflakes.
Right, do these people normally call? Is this what normally happens? Yeah, I figured as much. Next caller, please. Hello.
You don't really know me, but...
I don't want to know you. Next caller, please. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, who are you?
I'm just phoning about the mobile phones and aircraft.
Yes, good. Are you an aeroplane?
I work in an airline.
Oh, okay, yep.
I just want to say that there's a new policy come in where passengers can use their mobile phones now while we're refueling.
I said that earlier as well. That's brilliant. No, that's brilliant. No, that's great. Don't apologise. That's fantastic. You're just backing me up. That's a good thing.
Only when the engines get turned on that they have to switch them off.
So
it's because of the reception, I think.
And is it more to do with the you know, the equipment in the cockpit as opposed to the fuel
itself.
Yeah,
I think it must be. Yeah. They can use it while we're refueling us. I don't think it makes any difference.
There you go. See, what do you do for an airline? Are you a dancer on a wing of a biplane or are you an air marshal?
Cabin crew.
Cabin crew. Are you allowed to mention the airline?
Oh, I can if you let me.
Is it an orange one?
Yeah. Why have you suddenly got a load of mad callers
phoning up? Oh, I'm sitting in for Ian Lee, you see. I'm John. Hello, nice to meet you. And normally between 6 and 6.30, Ian gets loads of mad... Actually, normally between 3 and 6.30, Ian gets loads of mad callers calling up. But the rule is you can come straight on air without any vetting by the excellent and expert vetting team you see in the other room. And believe me, the sort of people we get...
Are nuts.
You can... wouldn't believe. But thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Okay, I've got a minute left, so let's see. I haven't given the mystery object away. Okay, I'm going to give all the prizes away to the caller who tells me what the mystery object is that gets it right. Is it this person? Hello.
Hello.
Do you know what the mystery object is?
It's a pair of socks.
No, someone guessed that earlier. That's wrong. Next caller, please. Hello. Hello, next caller. Hello there.
Hello, it's Stephen.
Hello, Stephen. Do you know what the mystery object is?
I've got no idea.
Just saying it. Have a guess.
Chocolate box.
A what?
A chocolate box.
You're absolutely right. Well done. You've won all the prize. You've won six tickets. You've won six tickets. You've won a bonus. You've won Joanne's picture of a car.
Fantastic.
Congratulations. I'm glad we cleared that up before 6.30. Right, I'll be back again at the same time tomorrow, 3 till 6.30. I do hope you can join me then. I was John Holmes sitting in for Ian Lee. This is LBC 97.3, and we've got 2 seconds to go. Real listeners.